What did Jesus tell us in John 10:27? He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. I have a relationship with them and they follow me. Loved one, that's the greatest thing we can ever do is follow the Lord, isn't it?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation. And John writes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. So now here's Pastor with today's message, The King Unveiled.
Last Sunday, we talked about the King is coming. And one day, the second coming, he is going to come. Amen? What a day that's going to be. This morning, we're going to look into the only book in the entire Bible given by an angel to the writer. Think about that. The only book in the Bible or in the New Testament that is completely a prophetic book, and the only book in the entire Bible that promises a blessing to every person who reads or hears or keeps the things that are written in this prophecy. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen? And so the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the word revelation, we get our word apocalypse, okay, in English, our English word. But the word revelation literally means uncovering or unveiling. So the person that we are unveiling or uncovering is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief subject of this book, along with the second coming and also the future things that are coming onto this planet. Now, it's rare today for any church or anyone in the pulpit to actually teach the book of Revelation on a Sunday morning or even teach it at all. But it is a book that God wants you to read and that he wants you to understand. He wants you to understand what's coming, but he doesn't want you to be afraid. Amen? Now, this morning, Jesus is here. No. The King who is unveiled is present with us right now. Now, I know that's easy to say theologically, but I want to move it to the heart where you say, I know it. Remember when Elisha, when the king of Syria sent all the army, he was down at Dothan and so forth, and they surrounded, they were on the hills all around, and his servant saw the Syrian army, and he said to Elijah, he says, oh, alas, oh, master, he said, what are we going to do? And Elijah looked at him and said, oh, don't worry, don't fear. There are more with us than those that are against us in a way, amen? And so what did Elisha, what did he pray? He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. And did the Lord open the servant's eyes? And did he see into the spiritual realm? And did it blow him away? He saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire. Listen, there are angels with us right this minute. You don't see them. I like to not have had enough room in my car this morning on the way in. They didn't get it. Never mind. Now, with all that being said, this morning as we look, in Revelation, in these few verses that we're going to cover, the veil is going to be removed. Like a veil being removed off of a statue. And we're going to see our King unveiled. And here's what I want you to see, that he is walking in the midst of the churches then and today. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's look this morning, beginning in verse 9. He says, and I, John, both your brother and companion or partaker in tribulation. Let's stop right there. You got to be careful if you have a study Bible or maybe a commentary. But remember, commentaries and study Bibles, the information put in besides God's word is written by man. Amen? Okay, so a lot of times they say, well, this is, they're speaking here of this tribulation as the great tribulation. That's not what it's talking about at all here. It's talking about the persecution that all the church was facing when John wrote this letter, okay? So he goes and he says, John, your brother companion, in the persecution and kingdom and patience or the endurance of Christ Jesus. Look where he was at. I was on the island that's called Patmos, and here's the reason: for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he was preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ is alive. He's resurrected. He's in heaven. He is God. So here is a disciple. He's the last one, the last apostle, isn't he? The apostle of love. All the other apostles, they are now dead, meaning the 12. So he's about 90 years of age, and he is on the island of Patmos, and the reason that he was banished by Domitian. Domitian was the Roman emperor right after Nero. Was Nero horrible? Well, so was Domitian, if you will. So he was the first emperor, Roman emperor, that commanded that images of himself be made. And he demanded that those images, in other words, that he be called, I am the Lord and God, okay? You didn't do that, and if you're a Christian, you wouldn't do that. Then you would be executed. Do you understand? So with all that being said, he was very cruel. History records that he killed, literally murdered, at least 40,000 Christians because of they would not call him Lord. Do you know who he really was, Domitian? He was the brother of Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple in AD 70. Now, Domitian was assassinated, all right? He didn't reign very long, but he was actually assassinated this month, September 18th, 96 AD. That's not going to help anybody, okay? And that's 1926 years ago. Now, what was John's crime? Why was he exiled to Patmos? Patmos, if we looked at it, I mean, it's a little bitty rocky island. It's about 10 miles long, maybe 6 miles wide. It's out in the middle of the sea, if you will, and there's no escape from it. Matter of fact, it's kind of like Alcatraz. You remember Alcatraz? Where was it, in San Francisco or something? Okay. I mean, it was like that. You can never escape from it. So John was not, though, on the island of Patmos, like some study Bibles say, to teach the word of God, to preach the gospel. He wasn't there for that. He was banished to the island of Patmos to stop him from preaching the gospel. Amen? Okay, so it's good for us to see that. Now, you know, to share Christ then and today, is it a dangerous thing? Yes. It's very dangerous today too, isn't it? Isn't that sad that God is so hated? That Christians are so hated? That there's such division in our country? And I want to say something about John here preaching the gospel, then being banished. You know, there's a tendency to look at John and say, man, John, the apostle of love, the only one that died a natural death. And you look at his life. For example, who did Jesus entrust Mary, his mother, to from the cross? John. Who was the man who leaned on the breast of Jesus? John. He heard the heartbeat of God. And you know, you think about that. I mean, this guy, he was so close. If you read the Gospel of John, he seemed to be the one who was so close to Jesus. He even recorded for himself, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. I mean, hello. I mean, but he loved him, all right? And so not only that, whenever Jesus took the three, Peter, James, and John, he would leave everybody else and he would take those three men. Remember, did he take them to the Transfiguration? Yes. Only them. And the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes. Yes. So John was in the loop, if you will. But more than that, did John see it all? Did he see the crucifixion? Yes. The resurrection? Yes. His ascension? Yes. Man, he saw it all. Now, the reason I said all that is that you may be tempted to think, if I was John and I had lived that kind of life, I would never experience suffering. I would never be tempted, or I would never be hated. Do you know something? That is wrong thinking, isn't it? Okay, No matter what some pulpits may say, when you come to Jesus, all your problems are not going to be over. They're beginning, okay? All right? And so listen, no matter how mature you are, no matter how much you know God's word, how much you pray, no Christian is exempt from persecution for his sake, suffering for his sake, amen? Or even being hated for his sake, loved one. Listen, Jesus gave us a tribulation promise in John 16:33. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. There you go. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What did Paul tell us in what is it, 2 Timothy 3:12? It's in there someplace. He said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul said in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations, we are to enter the kingdom of God. I love what Paul said about whatever we endure in this life, death, sword, famine, peril, no matter what it is, angels, principalities, any created thing. He says this in Romans 8:37, I think. He says, but in all these things, Christian, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Right now, no matter what you're facing, you may feel like you're isolated in your life, like John. I'm on the island of Patmos. Bad things are happening to you. Let me tell you, God is with you. God loves you, and you're going to make it in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, I'm glad that John gave us an example. He didn't say, I don't deserve this. Amen? He didn't say, Jesus just doesn't love me anymore. Look what's happening to me in my life. You know what he said? Look at it again. He said to them about this persecution, I am your brother and your companion in this persecution. And loved one, we need to say the same thing when we experience it, right? You know, Eusebius, who was a church historian, wrote about John. You know what he said? He said that Domitian actually boiled him in oil, but had absolutely no effect upon him. And that's why he was banished to the island of Patmos. You know what that tells me? It tells me that no person, no government, no location on earth can ever stop what God wants to do and can ever stop God's word. Amen? That's just the way it is. So here he is. John is going to receive now this book, if you will, Revelation, the most extensive revelation in the entire New Testament. And look how he received it in verse 10. He says, I was, past tense there, I was in the Spirit on which day? The Lord's day. Now that is only found there in right here in the New Testament, the Lord's day. So I was is a verb, and it can be translated, and I don't speak the Greek very well, but I think it's genomai, okay? It means this, I had a change in my condition. Whether it was a vision, whether it was a trance, whether he was boosted or sent off by the Holy Spirit into the supernatural realm, into the future, it doesn't really matter, does it? But something happened, all right, because there was a major change there. He saw visions and he heard sounds and he saw all kinds of things in the future. Now, the Lord's Day, you have to say, when is that? Most people say, well, Bill, the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, Sunday. Amen? And it's okay to do that. But what if the Lord's Day here meant the day of the Lord, talking about the God's wrath that's coming upon the planet? It either has to be one or the other, and I'm not for sure which one it is, but now you have both ways viewed, okay? So he was on the island, or in the Spirit, on the Lord's day, and look what happened. And I heard behind me a loud voice. You'll see that word loud 20 times in Revelation. A loud voice as a trumpet. Now, this is the voice of Jesus. Look what he said. I am the Alpha. I'm the Omega, the first and the last. I'm the eternal one, okay? And Jesus said, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. That's modern Turkey, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Last Sunday, I said, when I read that scripture to you, I said, sure, there were more than just seven churches by then, amen? But yeah, there was 100 churches or more, many, many. So why these seven? I mean, Jesus picked out seven specific churches. Now, seven, as we learn, we know that's God's favorite number. It means perfection, it means completion, it means fullness, and so forth. So these seven churches, they seem, and I'll talk about this, the Lord willing, next Sunday, they seem to represent the entire church history. And we'll kind of look into that and maybe other things to see if that is the case. So, and not only that, here the seven churches represent the church universal, okay? Now, so with all that being said, Jesus said, write. That's the first of the 12 commands given in this book. The second one was, he said, write, then send it. That was the second one, okay? So now, I'll ask you a question. He's to write all the visions, and we already have learned that Revelation, God wants you to learn. He wants you to see what's coming, and it's not a sealed book. However, there is one area that John was forbidden to write what he saw. Let me give you the scripture. In Revelation 10:4, it says, now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, John says. I was getting ready to write it down, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered. Do not write them. So this is the only place in the book of Revelation that remains sealed and not revealed. Now, what did the seven thunders utter? It's in my new book. You can pick it up in the lobby on the way out, and it's either two for 10 or one for 20. I don't know. Now, I don't know. No one knows. John, it's not recorded. Amen? Now, so in verse 12, something's going to happen, and this is very, very important. We are about to see something in our mind's eye, and that's probably the Lord saying it's time. And we're going to see Jesus, okay? And we're going to see the glory he had before the world ever was, okay? When he went back to the Father. Now, the Bible in Hebrews 3, chapter 1, it talks about our calling. And it talks that we have a holy calling, a heavenly calling. And then it tells us to do something in Hebrews. It says, consider our great high priest, Jesus Christ. That word consider is a beautiful word, loved one. It means stop everything. Look deeply into, carefully go over. Get these facts into your heart and to your mind. And the reason I'm saying that is because we're getting ready to see Jesus, our King, unveiled. Would you consider this deeply? Would you consider this carefully? Because if you will do this, what I'm about to tell you in a few minutes, It will change your focus on many, many things, okay? So let's look at it now. He said, then I turned, in verse 12, to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, he was looking for the source of the voice. Having turned, look what happened. I saw seven golden lampstands. So instead of seeing a person that was speaking with that voice, the first thing that John saw here or sees is seven individual golden lampstands. And surely when we think about that, if you know the Bible, like say Exodus and so forth, we think of the tabernacle and the menorah, if the seven candles or lampstands is on that in the holy place. So, but we're not talking about the book of Exodus, and we're not talking about the menorah. We're talking about seven individual lampstands, and that's very important to see. So these seven lampstands, so if we looked into the literal meaning of a lampstand, it just means a bearer of light. Well, we know from verse 20 that the lampstands represent the seven churches or the universal church. Now, is the church supposed to be and can be the light of the world? Yes. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Also, it says that we are in the midst of a crooked generation, that we shine in this world, Philippians 2, 15, and we hold forth the word of life. So we are a reflection, if you will, from the true light, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's these lampstands here. Now, it says, then I turned, I saw the voice that spoke with me. Having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands, and watch this, and in the middle or the midst of the seven lampstands, that's the church, one like the Son of Man, the true light of the world, amen? The one who said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows after me shall never walk in darkness, but walk in light. Loved one, listen, he's standing in the very midst of the church right there. Did Jesus promise us that he would never leave us, never forsake us? Did Jesus say, "Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age," Matthew 28:20? Do you believe that to be true?
Yes.
Okay, Jesus is here right now. He's here. Not just a theological, it's a 101. No, this is fact. Jesus is with us right now. And we are to consider that very deeply, loved one. He really is here. And, you know, when we say that Jesus is here, what does that really mean? It means he's really here. Amen? I mean, that's just as simple as you get. But here's the thing. Do you, when you came in here today, did anything come across your heart or your mind that says, Jesus is here? When you entered into fellowship with other people and prepare for the service and so forth, did it ever enter your mind that he's here? And that is why we came here. Amen? See, if we will do something, if every church, but we're just talking about us, if every Christian who walks through that door, if you come and you practice awareness when we gather, then each of us will have the right spiritual focus. I am coming to worship my Lord. I'm coming to hear the holy word of God. Amen? And when you do that, when you have that spiritual awareness, you know what happens, all of us? If we do that, all of a sudden there's something happens in the dynamic of the service. We feel his tangible presence. We know that he's here. You see, we may not see him, but we feel him. Does that make sense? When we sing to him, we feel him, don't we? You know, you want to do those things. So that's so, so important. And, you know, especially today in the times that we live in, you know, listen, I love all the pastors on TV and everybody, the singers and all that. But we have so many celebrity pastors, don't we? And celebrity teachers. And I'm not faulting that. I'm not saying that at all. But listen, we all need to respect them. But my gosh, we don't need to be devoted to them. Come on. Do we give Jesus a back row? No, we're going to put you back there, Lord. I came to see this guy. No. He's, why would that? No. We don't exalt men. We exalt our Lord. Amen. I'm coming to church. I don't come to church for a man. I come to church for Jesus. Amen. He's the one who saved me and died for me. So listen, we want to be careful about that. Respect. And I totally understand it. Respect. But don't exalt, man. Listen, if you do that, if I do that, you know what we do? We just rob Jesus of what he deserves. He deserves our worship. He's the King. He's the King of Kings. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. We need to see Jesus high and lifted up. There's a dangerous absence of awe and worship in our assemblies today. And that's a true word. So look at verse 13 again. He says, in the midst of the seven lampstands, again, the church, there was one, and he uses that word, like the Son of Man. Now, that means the Son of Man is one of Jesus' favorite words. He used it 83 times in the Gospels. So it's speaking here of his humanity, if you will. And he uses the word like. So John was trying to put it all together. He's in the Spirit. He's seeing Jesus like he has never seen him. And as far as we know, John had never, once Jesus ascended, we don't know that John ever saw Jesus again. Amen? Remember the last time, over 60 years ago, would have been the last time that John had seen our Lord in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, when Jesus brought them out to Bethany, and then he ascended out of their sight. Remember? And that was the last time probably, or that's all I know, that he saw the Lord. So he's trying to describe it, and he used that word like it over and over. Now something's going to happen now. In the verse 13 here, as we look at it again, we're going to see the King unveiled. And he's glorious. Not just there, but also here, loved one. And this is the only description of our Lord Jesus in the New Testament. Look at it, verse 13 again. One like the Son of Man. He was clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. You know, when I read that, you know, the first thought that came into my heart, I kind of mocked the world. I shouldn't do that, but it was like, that's my Lord, and you'll never strip off his clothing again. You'll never gamble for his clothes again. Amen.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but please join us again on Monday to hear the conclusion to today's message. Hey, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails today. We pray that you have a safe and restful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.